Awesome. That was absolutely brilliant. What a great morning, eh? Great morning in church, great praise. It's always good to have great praise. That'll release you from anything, even all the struggles you've been through in the week, whatever they might have been. But how many feel excited right now? That's awesome. Great to see a few of you back from holiday. It's absolutely fantastic. I can't believe how long people take holidays for. How do you guys do it? Some of you have been on holiday forever, but it's good to see you back. Welcome back. It's going to be good in church. Well, it already is. Devin, Dad's, what is it called? Dad's watch. I can't believe Devin wasn't up there, actually, because some of you would have seen the Facebook post where Dad was looking after the kids. How many have ever been? Let me see the dads who have looked after the kids and everything went wrong. Yeah? It came to the stage in our life where Julia refused to leave me at home with my own kids. I think that is disgusting. And because the stuff that would happen. Kids are kids. And Matea got going with the scissors and pretty much made Alexa, I lost her name there, for Alexa Bald. But anyway, Dad was looking after the kids. I think that's fun, isn't it? So Dad's in a bit of trouble. It's always good, I'll tell you. Life is great if you can take those moments and make the most out of them. Okay? The worst thing you can ever do is get depressed about those moments, all right? And, you know, you think about it. Most of the attacks of the enemy on our lives will be to depress us, pull us down, discourage us, cause us to be fearful, lock ourselves away. And when you think about it, those are the times of the greatest victories in God. Did you hear me? If you don't believe me, ask the disciples. They were locked away. It looked like the devil had won the victory. They'd locked themselves away. They were fearful, it says. They were behind doors. They had isolated themselves. But it was the greatest day of victory for the planet. It was the day when Jesus won the victory for you and I, and we got salvation. Hallelujah. That's worth giving a shout over right there. God is amazing. Amazing. Now, honestly, make life fun. I reckon if you get too serious about life, it can become a little discouraging. Because trouble shows up. How many know trouble shows up? Yeah. I'm out with, here's my great friend and coach and partner in life, Basil Zabriskie here. Basil, I don't know if you probably do remember this, but Basil and I, we travelled quite a bit together in the early days, all around the world, preaching here, there and everywhere. And when you're doing that and you're on aeroplanes a lot, you can catch bugs off the people that are sitting next to you. That's depressing. And so we used to take vitamins, and Basil used to like to store his in his pocket. I always had my vitamins in a little airtight container. But Basil kept his in his pocket. And we'd sit down to breakfast, and down would go a bunch of vitamins. And just to keep you healthy, a bit of garlic, a couple of vitamin Bs, a couple of uppers, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, after that, shortly after, we'd just finished breakfast, and Basil started talking to me like, "Going to be a great day, Don." And I thought, where did he get this new accent? And everything was sort of having like a Donald Duck effect to it. Like, "Hey, hurry, I don't know what's wrong with me." And it was something in his throat, you know. And he said, "I think I've got something stuck in my throat." Anyway, he ate a piece of dry bread, gobbled all sorts of food. The next day, I just happened to pat Basil on the back and say, "You are a great friend to hang around with." And out popped a flipping 5-cent coin. A 5-cent coin popped out of his mouth, just like Jesus and the fish. And so what we're going to do before I bring the word to you today, just to celebrate the goodness in your lives, the fun in your lives, the absolute blessing of God in our life, I want you to get out of your seat, go give someone a hug and say, "Are you ready for the word?" Especially hug Baz, pat him on the back. You never know what you're going to get, all right? It might be a $10 note now. Do that. Whoa. story.
Yeah, I've got to keep going now.
Thank you. It's good to see you, buddy. Yes, you're good. Oh, man. Good to see you back, Frankie. Hi, Elena. Okay, you guys, that's enough hellos. Get back to your seats, all you chit-chatters, all you connectors, all you people who love to hang out together with each other. Great to be in the house. Well, how many are ready for the word? Okay, before I get to the word, give these guys a huge hand clap. Unbelievable worship this morning. Thank you, guys. Amazing, amazing. Yeah, give us a drum roll, Dev. Come on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you. There it is. It's nothing to do with him. It's the sound man. I don't know who it is, really. But anyway. Hey, let's stand and pray before we preach, shall we? Father, we want to thank you right now for your divine goodness. We thank you for the power of the Word of God. We thank you for the gospel, Lord. We thank you, God, for the incredible power of the joy of the Lord is our strength this morning. Lord, as we gather together this morning, we thank you, Lord God, there's going to be a good day. Why? It's going to be a great day because you are totally and completely in charge. God, we give you the victory. We give you all the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody shouted?
Amen.
Amen. If you're ready for the word, say yeah. Okay, here we go. And we're going to Matthew chapter. We've been in this scripture for a long time now, actually. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Everybody should know it off by heart. It's been our December and January theme. And it's called, oh, that's right, back screen's not working today. It's called Light Your World, I think. Is that what it's called? Yeah, even I got lost there. It's called Light Your World, okay? How many have lit their world over this season, all right? How many have lit your world? Come on, you've lit it up. I'm not talking about lighting fires. I'm talking about not talking about a fire that got out of control. I'm talking about just lit up your world because you're in it, okay? Jesus puts it like this. Your lives light up the world. Just ponder on it for a while. Your lives light up the world. I wonder. Sometimes it's easy to live life and actually cause a shadow to come over someone's world. Sometimes people, you ever walked into a room and people walk into the room and they kind of bring darkness to the room? Anybody been there? Yeah. I mean, Jesus says that we should be different. And we have an opportunity to be different and to live different. And I want to encourage you, when Jesus put it like this, your lives light up the world, so let others see your light. And he even puts this, I love this, from a distance. You've got to get pretty close to somebody to see the light. Sometimes you get right up and look in their eyes, you know. Where's the light here? And sometimes hard to find. But Jesus said, they should be able to see your light from a distance. And like the headlights on your car. If they're dim, if they're down, if they're dirty, you can't see too far ahead. But if you get your lenses clean, if you get the lights happening properly, you can see a long way down that road. I told you a story the other week of a car Julia and I owned where you would be traveling on the road at 160 kilometres, hold on, that's not legal, at 100 kilometres an hour, and all of a sudden the lights would go out. Just all of a sudden, no warning, just out they would go. I reckon if we're going to be a light for the world, let's at least be consistent. There's nothing worse than following somebody and they're bright right now in church on Sunday, but when you meet them on Wednesday, they're half depressed. You know what I mean? Like, it's good to be a consistent light. That was a very scary car that we owned, honestly. Charging along, you imagine it. It's difficult to imagine, but in the middle of the night driving along at let's stick to 100, yeah, and when the lights suddenly go out, you have no idea where anything is. You have lost completely your sense of direction. I want to be a light to people so that they can have consistent direction in their lives. My phone number, for those of you that are wanting to get it for a long time, is 021 to repent, okay? 021 to repent, which is a pretty simple number. I brought it probably when we started this church. I brought it actually. That's 19 years ago now. I brought that number off a girl because she didn't want to sell it to me first, but she ended up selling it to me because you're going to get a lot of phone calls about people wanting to repent. And so she sold me her phone. Does that make sense? So she sold it to me. And so I now have that number. But here's the deal. I've had that number now for, let's say, 19 years, okay? In fact, I'm getting one right now. But the number, and it's got to be, is it John Pearson? Is it? Okay. Anyway, and that's why you turn your phone on silent when you're in church, okay? You never know what's going to happen next. But anyway, I still get calls. I get calls. This week I got a call. This week. From a guy. And the only reason he called me because 021 to repent. And you probably all need to make that call at some stage during the week. But no. But he made that call. He said, "Don, I'm really in trouble and I've lost my way. And I just remembered this number." And so I phoned you up. Now, I don't say that to talk about the phone call I got, which was interesting. But I say that to say it's good to be a consistent light. Like, I don't want to be just lighting the world today. You can call me this week because I'm on cloud 9 because I've just been in a fantastic worship service. Thank you, guys. But I don't want you calling me up on Wednesday and, hang on, it's Wednesday, guys. I'm half depressed now. Church was 3 days ago. Is that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Church was 3 days ago. I'm waiting for the weekend. We've got to live. Jesus said that we should be able to live our lives in such a way that our light becomes consistent. And that wherever we are, we shine. And wherever we are, we provide a brilliance for somebody, even if it is simply an encouraging word. But whatever we carry, let's make it something this year. This is 2018, guys. Come on. It's a brand new year. Somebody said to me the other day, it's a new year, it's a new you. Well, I don't know about a new you. Those cliches sometimes just don't work, right? It ain't a new me. It's the same old me as was last year, but it is a new year. And it's great to be in a new year, but I think let's make this year the best yet. And I think what we have to do is make some decisions in there. The Bible says in Isaiah, I think it is, that when the enemy sends a flood against you, the Lord will raise up a standard against the enemy. And I reckon let's make a decision this year that we'll live our lives by standards that prepare us to live every day as a light that shines, supercharged in Jesus' name, not half-charged, supercharged. If you need to get one of those cable things, what are they called, jumper leads, if you need to get jumper leads and hook on to my battery, go for it. But get something that'll cause your light to shine with some brightness in this next season. Can I encourage you in that? Let's be a church that don't just live from Sunday to Sunday, but we live a supercharged life, that we set some things in our lives this year that cause us to shine like never before. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, for how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? Very difficult to hide things that are shining. Like things that are shining kind of stand out. Ask Kaylee. She's in Nana's cupboards. All that she's wearing, she showed me this morning, Nana's bracelet, Nana's this, and she's got all the shiny things on. Even kids love shiny things. And never lose that little bit of it. We've all got a little bit of kid at heart. That's why Jesus spoke the parable about walking through the field, and he found treasure in that field worth so much. There's so many lives that have treasure in them. I see it all the time, with treasure in the field. And the treasure has been hidden or buried in the field, sometimes by circumstance, sometimes by pain, sometimes by disappointment, sometimes by a nightmare life. And the treasure's hidden in the field. But it tells the parable of Jesus walking through the field, or he talks about a man walking through the field, and he discovers this treasure, and then he goes and sells every single thing he has to buy that field so that he's not stealing it, but that he owns the treasure. I believe that in our lives this morning there is such incredible treasure that God wants to bring it out of hiding so that we shine a little. Let the diamonds in your heart shine this year to brighten everything around you. Let's let our light shine, okay? Like a city that's set on the hill. See, you can turn up. I think you can turn up in any given circumstance. I don't think it really matters whether it's an up circumstance or a down. You can turn up in any circumstance and actually bring light to that place. It don't matter who it is or what it is, we can bring light to that place. I have it happen all the time in my life, and I'm not asking for it except for my phone number, of course. In fact, a while ago, I got a call. I told some of you about it. I got a call to go to one of the Auckland celebrities, one of the sort of top celebrity TV showmen in our city. And he was having problems in his life. They're living the high life, of course, but they have nothing that's of substance in their life. You know, I don't care how cool life gets, you know, what do you put your trust in? Or let me ask it to you this way. What is your source? What is your source? Because if your source is how many ticks you're getting on Facebook this morning, if my source is how many people come up to me after service and say, I love your message, then I'm totally going to be screwed up. If your source is how many people are following you or your friends, man, you're going to end up screwed up. But if your source is God, if your source is the power of the love of Jesus Christ, you will shine in any given circumstance. And they called me to turn up because things were happening, like for E.G., he was getting pulled out of bed in the night and nobody was in his room, which is pretty weird. Like, that's got to be pretty weird. Like, he felt somebody grabbing his feet and dragging him out of bed, and it was a horrible, he felt fear and darkness, and it was just all going to pieces. There was one girl in the house who stayed in the house, there were a few of them staying, and she was terrified to walk through the door into that room. And she'd get at the door and start shaking like a leaf in a wild wind like we had last week in Auckland. And she'd just start shaking. When I got there, I invited them to come in. I said, we're going to go and pray over this room and we'll kick the devil out. In fact, he's probably already gone because I turned up and knocked on the front door. And that's how it should work, incidentally. Because it's not a battle. The battle's already been won. Jesus won the victory back at Calvary. That's what we're talking about. The devil loves us to think he got the victory in your life last week. He loves us to think that because things went wrong last week, that maybe he's got the victory there. But my Bible tells me that 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, Jesus won the victory for you and me. We no longer have to fight in that battle. All we got to do is put our trust in Jesus Christ because he is our victory winner. Don't get too excited about that. I said, all we got to do is put our trust in Jesus because he already won the victory for us. See, I meet a lot of Christians who are fighting these battles, but man, what an incredible sense of relief just to know Jesus won the victory for me. He won it for me. So what you've got to do there, of course, is be faithful. So be faithful. Like, so what are we going to do with what he's done and given us? So to be faithful with that is, to me, to set standards in your life, to put some standards in your life. Let's read on anyway. And because if we start talking about that, I was telling you halfway through a story, okay? So I walked into this house and they had the devil dragging him out of bed and all sorts of things. And a lot of fear in the house, a lot of fear. I do remember telling you on the night I got there at about 10 o'clock because that was the only free time I had, and they had like 20 people in the house. And I said, shoot, I thought there was only five of you lived there. And then, oh no, well, there's 20 here tonight because they've come to see an exorcism. Now, the reality is, I don't think we do exorcisms, do we, John? John, do we do exorcisms? No. He's a chaplain. I thought he might know about that. But we don't do exorcisms. We just turn up. Jesus already won the victory. So I said to them all, I said, you're all a whole lot of young people there, you know, up and coming TV personalities and all wannabes, you know. Anyway, they're all there. Feeling pretty cool about themselves. And I said, you guys are in real trouble. Because when I was reading my Bible, it told me that the devil's always looking for somewhere to go. If I kick him out of here, he's looking for somewhere to go. And he's usually looking for someone that doesn't know Jesus. That's enough to freak anybody out. Probably a few freaked out in here this morning, I don't know. But anyway, their eyes were seriously as big as saucers. And I said, but it's cool, I've got it covered. So I said, I'm going to pray for you all right now. So man, these people never been in a prayer meeting in their lives. But you should have seen them join in. Boy, I wish we had prayer meetings like that in church. Like these guys were 100% in that prayer meeting. They weren't like just lingering there playing, texting and playing on their telephones. They were 100% into this prayer meeting. I was saying, Lord Jesus, these people are unprotected. And and boy, they were like, yeah, you know. Hard to get an amen in church sometimes, but these people were at least like, yeah. Anyway, we prayed for them. I prayed that the blood of Jesus would cover them. Then we walked through that house, and I'll tell you what, right now, the peace of God came on that house, and it changed the lives of every single person who was there. We need to be a light in this world that can, like darkness, just gets the heck out of there. In Jesus' name. Because we've got the power, guys. It's not like we're walking through life powerless. I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. When he lights something up, darkness goes. You don't have to put much light on in here to get rid of the darkness in this room, as you would have discovered this morning. Julia wanted a little bit of light on because she found it too dark. But the reality is, it doesn't take much to dispel darkness. You and I can dispel darkness this year in Jesus' name. Been talking to you so long, my iPad shut down. That's got to mean time's up. Anyway, so I just want to talk a little bit about that this morning and about how you are the light of the world. So here we go. Matthew chapter 25, it says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. We know the story. The foolish ones took their lamps and did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. Now, I would call out, and here's my first point today, what is your source? What is your source? Because the reality is, whatever our source is, we've got to have it with us. You can't say, Jesus Christ is my source, and yet we have nothing prepared. We have no standards in our lives. For our lives, I would say the source of my life is not just what I believe, but what I carry in my life. Just one little simple example of that is this morning. Okay, we've got a bunch of Julia's relatives staying with us right now, and they're not into church. They haven't yet had the revelation of the incredible, exciting journey it is living for Jesus. Okay, so they don't want to go to church. Now, the reality is that the simple thing is, Julia could have easily stayed at home today and she could have hung out with her relatives. In fact, they would have loved that. But she says, hey, we just have a standard in our lives. And the standard is, on Sunday we go to church. That's a good standard. It's like, so when somebody says, a lot of people want to make, the five virgins is an incredible story of lessons in life for every one of us. Like, e.g., because we're all at the gate of something in our lives, okay? We stand at the gate of transference, direction, purpose in our lives. We're at the gate right now, 2018. Hard to believe, but here we are. And at the gate of 2018, we will all have all kinds of different things thrown at us. Compromising situations that could derail us. We all live there. And what I would like to say this morning, it is no good making a decision at the gate of compromise on what your standard is. Do you know what I mean? Like if you wait till you get to the gate of compromise, then you're trying to see, oh, jeepers, will I do this, will I do that? Do I believe this, do I believe that? At the gate of compromise, it's sometimes very difficult to decide what you do actually believe. Because the devil's good at throwing weapons against you that will just confuse you, pull you down. I sat with a guy this week, totally confused about life, confused about his destiny, confused about his Christian walk. Why? Because he hasn't set standards in his life that will guide him through the roughest places you could ever go. I want to have standards in my life, though I'm still shining in trying to work out what it'll be about 60 years from now, but whatever that year is, I still want to be shining then, okay? And so the reality is that the standards we set in our lives right now are the ones that God can raise up in the day of trouble in your life and cause his light to shine brighter in your world than you could ever imagine. Are you with me this morning? So the five virgins, you see, they had the jars. They had the jars. You can have the jar, but no oil in it. Who's your source? You know, David said, I will go to the Lord. David was always an I will man. I will put on the garment of praise. I will say yes, yes, yes. Remember that great movie they brought out about Just Say Yes? You know, I think sometimes we need to be a lot more yes toward God. A lot more yes toward God. Yeah, God, I'll do it. Yeah, God, let me go. Yeah, here we go. And let God fill your vase, your emptiness, with his oil. Otherwise, there's a million things that can distract you. There's a million things that can put you. 2018, I believe, is set to be a year of incredible visitation in our nation of the Lord. Yeah! Tonight, we've got Pastor Lucas Connell. Now, I know he's a wild man, okay? So, I don't know, come scared or whatever. He's just a wild man. That's not a good ad, is it? But just... Come expectant. That's the word I was looking for. Come expectant. He's a great guy, and he will bring the word of God that'll change lives. Bring every visitor you can imagine. Bring any sick people you know. Lucas is pretty, he's full on, pumped up for God. But there'll be a million things even there. See, what's your standard? You know, I don't know what's on TV tonight. There'll be something on TV that you'll love, you know. So let's watch that. Go to church TV. I don't know how it works. But the reality is, David said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord on that which cost me nothing. I will not sacrifice to God on that which cost me nothing. So what it is, we really want the blessing of God in our lives. I want the blessing of God in every life represented here. But I think sometimes we think God just a giver of blessing, and there's nothing that we prepare along the way. I want to prepare my life for the blessing. Last week, Maria went through the waters of baptism here. So did Anna, wherever you are. And went through the waters of baptism. So the secret of a baptism is obedience to God. Just simple. It's just simple obedience, really. It's like, there's the yes word again. Yes, you know. And we won't go there. But to me, it's easy to say yes and being obedient to God. Now, I know, talking to Maria this weekend, incredible freedom come on her life just by goodbye to the old me, hello to the new me. Wow, that's exciting right there. Now, I don't know, I think, Maria, you're probably shining right now, you know, I can see the glory of God in you. I believe that there are decisions we make in life that enable God to shine through us in a very, very bright way. And I think they involve everything of life. That's why we set standards. These girls, it says five of them, had no flipping oil in their lamp. You ain't going to shine for long. That's why I'm saying, come here, Pastor Lucas, tonight, you know. Or I think in 3 weeks we've got Pastor Jeff Vines. Used to pastor a great church here on the North Shore, actually. Pastors a church now in America. I think it's a church of 20,000 or something. But anyway, he rang me up this weekend and he said, Don, do you want me to do anything for you? And I said, yeah, of course we do. We want you to come and speak. And so he said, mate, I'm flying in on, I think it's on the 4th of March. 4th of March, sorry. 4th of March. He's flying in. I'd book that weekend out. It's going to be amazing. And 4th of March, we've got Jeff Vines flying in here from the USA. And he's going to come in. He believes he's got a word of God for our church. And so I want to be prepared so that God can fill my lantern so that in the day of darkness, I've got something that will shine. And I would encourage you this morning, we provide lots of stuff that can enable you to shine. And I want to really encourage you, let's this year make it a part of our commitment to God and to life. God, this year, I want to shine. I want to light up my street. I want to light up my workplace. I want to light up my school. I want to light up, man alive, I tell you, and God's doing some lighting up. Connor over here, look at him sitting right there. Connor, born again approximately 1 week, and just over 1 week. But if you weren't here on Sunday night, oh my goodness, like Connor, barely a Christian. And he wouldn't mind me saying that because he'll say it to you himself. Don, what sort of clothes are you meant to wear if you come to this church? Because people think they've got to get in a collar and tie because we're all religious goof-offs, you know? And they think we've got to do weird stuff to come into the presence of God. But my Bible says, come as you are. Come as you are. Bring yourself in whatever state you're in. See, we don't even have to be holy. We just have to be us. And we are reliant on who is your source. And when he fills your bars, your life, then you shine. And you should have seen this guy on Sunday night. He flipping got up there and preached, for goodness sake. He shone, and I believe God is looking for people, not how educated we are, not how prepared we are, just how willing and obedient we are to say, yes, Lord, here I am. That's all he's really looking for. He's looking for availability. Hello? Availability. See, we think he's looking for holy. We think he's looking for our talents. God can put a talent on you in 2 seconds. In fact, God ain't too interested in how good you think you are, because sometimes we think our talents will make a way for us, but God says, no, I'm not into your talents, I'm into your availability. I'm into a heart attitude. I'm into where your heart's at. I'm into like these 5 girls who had no oil in their lamp. I mean, what were they thinking? This is God. They're about to be the bride of the incredible groom. And here they were with their vessels run out of oil. What were they thinking, for goodness sake? I want to be ready. I want to be ready to shine at any given moment. And I would just challenge you this morning, because it says the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Well, let's not. I hope that doesn't happen while I'm preaching this morning. But at midnight, the cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Once again, I want to stress my single point this morning. Who is your source? Who is your source? Because the reality, if I'm your source and you just want to get some jumper leads hooked up to me, I don't think I can be there all the time for you. But I do know that the Holy Spirit said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you in thick and thin, dark and light, storms and whatever. He said, I'll be there for you. And you can be. I tell you what, people don't think they need light, but when it gets dark enough, everybody needs some light. Even David, remember when David's son, can't remember the long-haired dude, Absalom, his hair got hooked up. He thought he was cool. He thought he had it all together. I'm cool. I've got it all together. I'm a flash-looking guy. I think when he cut his hair, I think it was like 5 kilos of hair or something when he had a haircut. Looking around here, there ain't much of that happening. And although, Nico, you would know. Have you ever done that? Okay. There you go. If you need a good haircut, go see Nico. He's down in the city there, cutting hair. I should go and see him this week, Julia reckons. But so does Karen, actually. Karen Suckling would love me to get a haircut. It's been disturbing her for weeks that I have one hair that'll fall down just like that. And that'll wreck an entire message for Karen Suckling. Anyway, back to the word. I can't remember where we got to now. I totally have distracted myself right there. Oh, yeah, Absalom. So he lost his life. His hair got hooked up in a tree. The thing that was he put his trust in was his hair, his attractiveness. Got hooked up, hung him in a tree. David was incredibly sad, as any dad would be when you've lost a son. I know that feeling. David was brokenhearted. But you know what it says? David went to his source, which was the Lord. Others had nowhere to go, but David went to the Lord. It was his source. You know, these guys here that didn't have themselves prepared, I want to say, this week, let's fill our jars with oil this morning, and let's get ready for the greatest days ahead. Are you with me? Yeah. I really believe it. I believe there's so. Let me just give you one more scripture in 1 Peter 2, because I believe it's significant for this morning. And it talks about the light that we will shine, you see. And in verse 9 it says, But you are a chosen generation. Oh, my goodness, I felt the anointing come right there. You are a chosen generation. So I'm looking at all you guys sitting here right now, chosen generation, okay? And so I love the way you're leaning forward, catching what God's got for you. So, okay, Zahn. But just catching it in your heart. Because what you catch in a message like this can change your world. It'll cause, here's what it'll cause. When you go to school on Monday, you stand up. Oh, no, you don't go to school for a month yet, is it? You've got more holidays than we could think of. Okay. When you go to school and you stand up for something, God stands right up with you there. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ask Daniel. Ask some of those guys. When you have standards in your life that are based on the source you draw from, God will stand with you every time and cause victory to be in your life. Hallelujah. I can see the expectations in your eyes. Get ready for what God's going to do in your life. Get ready in this season. God's going to put a magnetic, here's what I see, like a magnetic, like you just want to suck in what God's got for you. A hunger, magnetic hunger. That's a better word. Hunger, it's better than suck. But a magnetic hunger in your heart for the things of God, because God has put a strategic call on your life. And you can't live as other people live, because there's going to be something in your heart that says, I want the reality of God's love burning in my heart because I want to shine like a light. Lord, what's your name again? I met you before. Annika, give me your hand. God, I pray that over Annika right now. I thank you for the anointing on her life, for the call of God on her. And I thank you, God, that she will shine like a light in this world in Jesus' name. See, the reality is that I believe every one of us can shine. It just, will you be consistent? I'll finish with the story and then I'm out of here. But sailing on a yacht to Fiji a few times now, but one of the first times we ever did that, and we struck a wild storm in the ocean. I've told you this story before, but people didn't want to pray. When I stepped onto the deck of that yacht in the Auckland Harbour, it's like the most peaceful thing in the world. You don't even need prayer in the Auckland Harbour. You barely need God. So I said, let's pray before we go to sea. And they said this to me, the people who are on that ship weren't believers. And they said, we don't believe in prayer and we don't want prayer happening on this boat, please. I said, no problem. But let me tell you this, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, whatever it was, 450 nautical miles from the nearest bit of terra firma, when it was as black as pitch, the only light out there was the lightning strikes that were bouncing off the deck of that ship, and that was providing some light, which was fairly scary to a lot of people. And there was that light. It was waves. I think the waves were 20 metres high. The wind was 100 knots, okay? That is a fairly scary environment. All of a sudden, they wanted to pray. Now, they didn't want to know about prayer all the way to there. Don't give us your religious junk. We don't want any of that stuff on this boat. But suddenly, in the middle of a storm, could you please pray for us? Even use the word please. To which I responded, nah. I've run out of prayers. The reality is, friend, I only tell you that to tell you this. There are people navigating their way through this world. And it is stormy out there. You better believe it is stormy. For some people, it's difficult to make a clear decision. For some people, there's a lot of confusion reigning in their minds, and they find it difficult to get stability in their life, like us, like a cork in the middle of the ocean with no terra firma anywhere to be seen. You've got no idea how that would be so welcome at that moment. But nothing to be seen and nowhere in the vicinity. And I want to tell you, that's why the Bible says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. Can I say this to you this morning? Friend, if you don't have a solid rock in your life, his name is Jesus, then you are missing out on the greatest, greatest stability foundation that your world could ever offer you. And I want to give you that this morning. And before I close this service, I want to pray for you. And if you don't have a solid rock in your life, if you don't have Christ as your stabilizing pinpoint in life, then you are on shaky ground. And 2018, to me, would demand that you have a stable environment in your own heart and your own world. It's called a foundation. It's called a principle. It's called allowing God to come into your world. And I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness this morning. I thank you for the power of your love, God, that can invade even the darkest areas in our lives and bring hope. Father, right across this place this morning, we declare that your word is the number one in our lives. And we give you an opportunity to shine in our world today. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your love and your mercy. And I thank you for your goodness right now. And friend, if you're here today and maybe you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you're not right with God today. Maybe you've become disillusioned in your faith. Maybe you're away from God right now and God has spoken to you this morning. Maybe, I don't know where you're at, but I want to tell you right, it could be dark in your world. Maybe the shadows have come over. Maybe fear has locked you down. But I want to say this morning, Jesus Christ is here to bring freedom, love, hope, and destiny into your life. And friend, if that's you, why don't you really quick lift your hand and I want to include you in a prayer this morning. If that's you, just real quick lift your hand and we will include you in a prayer if that's you. Don, I need to get my life right with God. I need God's love shining in my heart. I need to get my jar filled with some oil. I need to put him as my number one source in life. If that's you, real quick right now, why don't you do that, friend? Whoever that is, just give me a quick wave. We're going to close this service out. I don't want to miss you, though, and I don't want to have you miss out on what God's doing in your life. So if that's you, please respond. Just say yes to God this morning. Maybe that's all it is. Yes to God. One more time, just looking right around the room. One more time, right across this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning, and I want to make a declaration over your life. We will be anointing everybody in this house early in February. We want to anoint every single person. But I got this far with this verse before, and as I was praying, God said, finish it off. Because you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's what we're actually called for, to bring people out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You who were once not a people, but now you are the people of God and have obtained mercy from the living God. I want to tell you right now, friend, we have obtained great mercy from an awesome God. Make the most of that this week in your life. Make the most of that. You can encourage someone. You can uplift somebody. You can phone someone this week. Send them a text. Tell them you are the most amazing. Tonight, invite every person you can think of who needs a miracle or a touch of God in their lives to this meeting here tonight at 6 o'clock with Lucas. And I want to tell you, I believe God's going to touch lives and break shackles and chains tonight. But friend, be expectant. Be expectant. Live on that realm. Let your light so shine before men in Jesus' name. Lord, lift your hands toward heaven right now, right across this place. Lord, I prophesy of every person here that we would come alive with the love of God shining out of our lives. That in this coming week, God, Lord, we would have a radiance about us, a reflection. Like, I really believe people are going to reflect the love of God this week. I believe there's going to be a testimony in you that God's going to use to reflect to the people around you. That people are going to come to you with darkness in their world and say, man, you look like you've got hope in you. And you're going to display that hope this week. And Lord, I declare a boldness, a courageous heart. I eliminate and annihilate fear off your life. In fact, fear of man has no place in your world. And I release you into a place of confidence and victory. In the name of Jesus, everybody shout it. God bless you. I love you. Julia, were you going to say goodbye? I'll say goodbye to everybody. I'm going to say, have a great week. Remember, 6 o'clock tonight. And honestly, bring someone along to that. Just grab someone and bring them. Sometimes it's better than ring them is to pick them up, I find, and get them into the house. Have a great day. Take someone out to lunch. Meet somebody who's here for the first time and celebrate God's goodness and the light that's shining in the lives of every person. I love you. God bless you. See you tonight.